I've been in a number of exchanges with members and friends recently about some hard interactions they've been having in this congregation and in other UU spaces too. It's not an uncommon pastoral conversation for me or for any Unitarian Universalist minister. As you know, I tell each of our potential new members before signing the book that this place, this faith, will disappoint you. Actually, I say it will break your heart. Of course, most think, how silly, others smile nicely, assuring me they know the risk of community. The thing is, I think because we have such big promises through such unoffending language, inherent worth, interdependence, responsible, searching, covenant, a promise rather than a creed, it does come as a shock, a jolt to the heart, a broken promise broken by an intimate friend when we come to know how those big promises and unoffending words are lived out by one another, other humans. With stuff and baggage, with ignorance, with isms that are known or denied, with lives lived even with good intention but still not aligning with those big promises and easy, unoffending language. I recently shared with one member in one of these exchanges how, if I'm being entirely transparent, I wish I could be in every single conversation that is had in this place. And, if I'm being really honest, in every conversation that any Unitarian Universalist is having with someone who has never heard of our faith. To be observational, mostly, just so I may insert a word or two that reminds us of our principles, of our promise to one another, of our universalism, and without exception, each and all of us too. Of course, I'd then need someone to do the same for me, follow me around, catching my tongue, or begging for forgiveness, or explaining my intent like some UU fairy godmother. I am attached to this faith, and our small numbers cause me grief, like a life cut short before it had its chance to unfurl its wings. And so, yes, there are times when I wish I could make all of us, and therefore this tradition, be more of what we say we are. Be more of what we are. It has been 500 years this October 31st since the Protestant Reformation began. You likely remember some of the story. Martin Luther, does that name ring a bell? A Catholic priest is offended by the Catholic Church's insistence that members pay for their absolution, their forgiveness. The overt corruption has him wringing his hands and unable to serve his people, but he's also unable to navigate his evolving beliefs with his Catholic theology that is bound in doing good work that is reflective of one's beliefs. Faith without works is dead, says the book of James. The UU book, many call it today, and the one that the Catholic Church still turns to. But Luther insisted that it was faith alone, belief alone, that made a person enough. We don't have to prove ourselves, he said, by our forgiveness. The church has strayed and fed up with trying to make his heart speak that which he did not believe. Martin Luther penned 95 statements of correction for all to see. 95 theses. The story goes that he showed up at the Wittenberg Cathedral, and for theatrical effect, to make sure his statements were made public, he nailed his critiques to the door. In reality, he mailed them in, and then, as was the custom of the time, he also hung them on the nail of the door that collected the mail. My colleagues and I have been thinking a lot about what this might look like for UUs today. Not as it was the effect of Luther's theses to split the church, but to lovingly name the ways in which we could be more true to the tradition that brings us together and then offers us a grounding from which to enter back into the world. I love this faith, and I love each of you. Only because of my last 3+ years serving in this congregation have I begun to loosen my grip on thinking we will never get it right. I've seen it 1,000,000 times in 3.5 years here. Unitarian Universalism lived beautifully and sincerely. I have been taught about our faith in practice through works because of belief, and still we travel in human ways together. And so perhaps we can also consider where we still have to go. From among hundreds of comments collected by my Unitarian Universalist colleagues, I've culled about 30 statements. And from those today, I want to offer each of you 5. And in the days to come, I would love to add to this list by hearing what you would add, what brief statement you would lift up that corrects, that moves, that offers possibility for each of us and for us as a tradition. So if this sounds a little confusing about what exactly I'm trying to get at, let me start with an easy one, one you've heard me say enough times. We will stop defining ourselves by negation. We do not believe in hell. We do not have a creed. We do not believe in a savior. Do not, do not, do not. Rather, Unitarian Universalism is a religion of recognition and affirmation. Even as we take seriously the problem of evil, both in the world and in ourselves, we will take seriously the worth of all that is, has been, and will be alive. We seek to nurture life and acknowledge with awe the interdependence of all things and of which we are but a part. 2. We will stop using our faith as a modifier. We will stop relying on the hyphens to legitimize our practices and beliefs. Unitarian Universalism is a religion in and of itself, hyphenating. Christian UU, Buddhist UU, humanist UU makes the faith a modifier. We can be Unitarian Universalists who find inspiration from the Bible or meditation, from human reason or Jewish tradition. That doesn't change the religion of Unitarian Universalism. You with me? 3. We will take seriously the public implications when we keep our faith private. The unique role of religion is the practice of public worship. That is, the ritual to facilitate personal self-reflection on what is most important. Worship is cultural, community, and personal self-care. It is a regrounding in the present moment and in its dangers as well as in its possibilities. 4. The one I'm most nervous to say. We will give up old fights where there are no longer sides. We will take seriously the work before us rather than halting our potential because it is easier to debate than deepen. When the preacher references do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God, humility, not God, must be the concept which gives us pause. And 5. That we as a denomination may have a future, and with universalism at heart, we will act knowing that all of us need all of us to survive. The purpose of our faith is not to perpetuate itself, but to urge us to grow beyond the small self into authentic relationship with other human beings, especially those we view as other. Our faith's purpose is to support us as we decenter ourselves and join with others to build a different way of living. As such, we will release our captivity of upper-class culture that prevents Unitarian Universalism from a prophetic engagement with systemic injustice, economic, racial, and ecological. We will gladly take up the support and nurture of families with young children and the support and nurture of our youth as a high-priority mission. We will take responsibility for the hard, painful, and even shameful portions of our history. We will make new mistakes. Poor Luther is all I can think right now. I want to say so much more here. I want to also tell us in a bit less formalized language that one day soon, I hope we will learn to move, to find our way into our bodies and grow a community that feels wanting to shout or weep or clap outside of when the music ends, outside of the control of all the other moments of our days. I believe we can faithfully teach our children and learn for the very first time ourselves the honest freedom that comes with the response, "I don't know," and how everything is possible in those three words: wisdom, story, humility, learning, and pause. I believe the first service can sit more closely together. We can be less auditory and more visual. We can be attached to our people and less attached to our things. Everything we have isn't entirely our own, this place included, of course. We can slow down, we can speed up, we can love the hell out of the world of which we are a part. We can apologize, we can be forgiven, we can offer forgiveness without payment, absolution without shame, relationship without conditions. We can, I believe, speak the truths of marginalization and oppression, Me Too, white supremacy, coming outs and outs and outs, with a reaction never seen by the world to date, by a community, by a faith, by a people who are choicefully bound in this life by promise and salvation. We can react with acknowledgement and affirmation. We can react with worship that regrounds us in what really matters. We can respond rather than react. For faith without works is dead. But more important still, it is that you believe that this place, this faith filled with humans, may just be something worth making better. Not so that in the end we are right, not for the brick and mortar individualized spaces, not because we are bad or not good enough as we are, but because this place has, for many of us, saved our lives. And in a world such as ours, can we really risk keeping such a gift to ourselves? Francis David, the anti-Trinitarian, the Unitarian minister of the 16th century, said, "We need not think alike to love alike." We won't. We don't all think alike. But we've got this place that we come to most weeks, and it does something to who we are, while here, but better yet, out there. This place is going to disappoint you. We are going to break one another's hearts. But here's the last thesis. We will come to learn that we make the places worth returning to each time we return. For the living tradition and the lives that make it so, blessed be, and amen.